It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the ice hockey podcast for Chelmsford Chieftains fans. This is episode 18, just the one game again for the Chieftains this week as they travel to Invicta Dynamos. The Warriors travel down to Guildford Phoenix and the Chelmsford Pythons travel to Peterborough. We've also got some academy results, the hit of the week and two fantastic guests. Firstly, we've got former Chieftain Frankie Sabini, who's chatting about his hockey career and a world-exclusive reveal on a very special project that he's got going with another former Chieftain, James Ayling, who will be appearing at a later date. And I will also be joined by one of the Chieftain's new players for this season, Dan Fay. Dan is incredibly experienced for his age and has slotted in perfectly to the Chieftain's D-line and is going to join me to discuss his hockey career, among other things. Let's get started then with the Chieftain's trip to Planet Ice Gillingham. The Dynamos come out fast, looking to dash the memory of their defeat the night before. And on 2 minutes, Ollie Baldock got himself 2 minutes for misconduct. The Chieftains were 6 seconds away from killing the penalty until Davis fed Laschek and the former Chieftain put the Mose ahead on 3:56. The Chieftains got back on terms on 9:50 when Grant Bartlett smashed home. 30 seconds later, however, the home side retook the lead when Laschek burnt his former side again when Harris assisted him and he smashed the puck top corner. At 16:54, Cam Bartlett got the Chieftains level again and the first finished 2-2. Into the second and the two sides swapped power plays in the first 10 minutes after Pickering got two for charging and Invicta took two for too many men. On 32:18, Burnett took a questionable 2 minute roughing penalty and on the power play the Mose retook the lead when Saw and Davis assisted Harris. On 34:28, Invicta broke away from the Chelmsford attack and Springer Hughes on the odd man made it 4-2. Chieftains rallied again and TJ Fillery pulled one back on 35:01. The Dynamos killed off a penalty in the last five after Lillis got two for cross-checking. End of the second, 4-3. Into the third and the extra line the home side had on the bench was starting to tell, but in an effort to rally the troops and the incredible away support, Rayner and Condren went to war after a hard hit into the boards. A pretty even scrap, but got to say that our man got the best of it. On 49:49 though, Invicta stretched their lead when Davis snuck one under Luca Tosadri for 5-3. Into the final few minutes and Leone called a timeout as the Chieftains found themselves on the power play and whilst pushing to get back within one, Hush broke away and shorthanded sealed the win for the Dynamos on 57:11. Invicta laying down the law in the last two league games then before the sides meet in the cup final in March. Other results then in the NIHL 1 South on Saturday. The Raiders had a spirited game against the Streatham Redhawks that was 3-3 going into the third, but the league leaders scored two in the third period to take the game 5-3 at the Sapphire. Slough Jets got themselves a win at home at the Hangar, where they put 6-2 to Invicta Dynamos. And Solent Devils put Oxford City to the sword down at Gosport with a 5-0 victory. Only one other game on the Sunday in the NIHL 1 South, as Oxford City Stars beat MK Thunder by 8-1. Into the NIHL 2 South then, the Warriors, as they made their trip down to Guildford Phoenix with just 10 players, however took the lead on 5:30 when Tom Baptist assisted Reece King. Unfortunately, that was followed by 10 unanswered goals from Guildford, including a shorty, until Chris Beckett scored, assisted by Ben Powell on 55 flat. Guildford made it 11-2 on 56-37, and the short bench was the enemy for the Warriors. The Pythons' trip up to Peterborough ended fruitless as well, as bus legs got the better of them in the first, continuing into the second, that finished 6-0, but they got themselves together in the third, keeping the Phantoms at bay from adding to their score. Academy results then. The under-12s Mini Chieftains, they beat Peterborough by 9-1. The under-14s Braves lost 13-3 to Guildford. And the under-16s Tomahawks beat Haringey 5-1. The England under-13s won their first game out at the 63rd Pee Wee tournament in Quebec. And Chelmsford Academy product Ruben Terry got the first goal and bagged a couple of assists as well. So well done to Roo doing his stuff out there. Well done to all the guys in the Academy for this weekend, including Freddie Espetito, who had to play in nets for Cambridge Grizzlies but won the Spirit of the Game Puck Award for his performance there. So well done to all involved. What we're going to do now then is speak to our first guest, a very special guest this week, former Chieftain netminder, now podcaster, scriptwriter, Frankie Sabini. And I stood tall, and did it my way. Frankie Sabini, how are you doing, fella?
Yeah, very well, thanks, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, mate, really good. Thanks for coming on. Former Chieftain and Romford player yourself, and I've just pronounced your name Sabini, but it's an interesting story in the pronunciation and spelling of your name, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. So originally it's Sabini with an E. So my family date back to the ancient Roman times, where if you can Google it, it's all over sort of Google and the history of Rome as well. But my direct ancestor was one of the first kings of Rome. So Titus Sabini was joint first king of Rome with Romanus. And then many, many years later, we end up in Sicily, in Corleone, which is like a huge mafia sort of compound type place. And we're still S-A-B-I-N-E. And then when we come over to England, because obviously I was peasants in the sort of late 1800s, 1900s, they said on the, when they get off the ship, what's your name? They said Sabini. So the English wrote it down with an E, with an I, obviously pronounce it Sabini rather than Sabini with an E. So it becomes Sabini with an I, but I always say Sabini with an I now because everyone pronounces it Sabine or Sabine and things like that. and then my granddad done something a little bit naughty, and he had to try and become more English-wired so they didn't catch him. And then we end up changing it back to an E. So now birth name is an E, but really I pronounce it with an I, so people say it right.
Yeah, no, that's I've got a good one with my last name. I always just say it's the same as the park in London because everyone always spells it with an I.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's the same as the park in London. So you most of your hockey career was at Romford?
Yeah.
Your local team?
Yeah, so I'm a Romford boy. I've only actually moved to a CM postcode 2 years ago now, funny enough. But yeah, I was Romford. I started when I was 8 years of age. Went through the Romford junior team. Was a player. Done all right as a player, but always just wanted to be in goal, to be honest with you. So first chance I got, we had a goalie who didn't want to be in goal anymore. Literally my very first training session, I was wearing all player like gear and a blocker and a catcher and just stood in goal and just like just tried to do my best. And then from there, went through the ranks, always sort of becoming number one goalie every age group, played up age groups, played Raiders in ENL league, so like obviously the higher league than what Chief, the Raiders league now, basically.
Yeah,
when I was six, yeah, 16, I was back up to Kinger. Kinger, I think, got an injury. So then I was number one goalie for pretty much the whole season at 16 in the E&L League. And then ended up coming to Chelmsford, fell out with Romford, come to Chelmsford, done a couple of seasons at Chelmsford, went back to Romford because I quit for a little while, went back to Romford, got a ban, 2 year ban. And then when I come back, I ended up coming back to Chelmsford again. And then
yeah. pretty much retired. Break your leg as well in the middle of that.
Yeah, I broke my leg when... How do you know that?
I remember you talking to Chongy about it when he was on your podcast.
Yes, yes. I broke my leg playing roller hockey, funny enough, when I was 12. So just made the sort of Southeast team. Snapped my leg in half, literally a clean break in half. Had three operations because it didn't heal properly. Got to the point where it looked like I was going to have pins in my leg. Managed to miraculously start healing, come back, and then straight back into the team and playing up and playing better than I ever did before. So,
wow.
It was, took a while to heal, but sort of didn't really affect me.
Especially as a goalie with the, you know, the flexibility you need in your legs and dropping to butterfly and, you know, whatever style you sort of adopt in there.
Mm.
Yeah, to come back from that, that's quite incredible. But you did have some success at your time at Chieftains. Was it NIHL 2 playoff champions whilst you were there?
Yeah, I can't really say I've had much involvement in that, to be honest.
I've seen you in the pictures, but it's...
Yeah, that's it. I celebrated hard, but I didn't really play that much.
Bit of a John Terry.
Yeah. Well, Sonny and all the Phillipses are family to me. They're like cousins. Terry's like my uncle. So Sonny's always been like a cousin to me. He was number one goalie. And I wanted to just come back doing a bit of training, a bit of fitness.
Yeah.
And obviously he was number one. I was more than happy to just to train. And then Joe at the time went, why don't you come back properly and fight for number one? I'll be honest with you, more than happy playing whenever Sonny can't, but I don't really want to fight for number one. He's my cousin. I've kind of been out of the sport for a little while. I just want a bit of fitness, but I'm more than happy. If you want to use me as a backup, if you want me to play, if you need me, then I'm happy because I love the sport more than anything. But I was never going to try and take Sonny's spot, to be honest with you. So for me, I was just happy sort of being there.
Yeah.
I'd won things, obviously, with Romford, won a lot with juniors. But yeah, my first sort of trophy in years after coming back. So I celebrated hard with that one.
And I mentioned there, obviously, finding out about breaking your leg on your podcast, because since you don't play hockey anymore, you now host your own podcast.
Yeah, we do. So it's called Two Whiskies and a Scar. Reason being, because I love whiskies and I love a scar. But it's a mindset, sort of business, athlete-type podcast. I like to try and get into the mindset. I'm obsessed with understanding the mindset. And I think this is probably why I was a successful, a semi-successful goalie as well, because for me, being in goal is all about reading the other team, reading the other player, understanding sort of the moves they're going to do before they can do it. If it was one-on-one, are they going to shoot? Are they going to deke? Trying to get into their head. So I've always been obsessed with trying to understand people and trying to get into people's heads.
Yeah.
So I've started a podcast and trying to understand why athletes are better than other people who try and play the game, or why you get businessmen who are successful and some who are not. Like, what's the difference? We're all the same people. We're all made up of the same blood, sweat and tears kind of thing. Why some people make it and some people don't? And it's really just it's attitude and mindset, to be honest with you. So I like to try and delve into that and show my listeners that anyone can make it. And if you do want to make it, this person might be in the same industry what you're in, reach out to them, because at the end of the day, network is sounds cringe, but network is your net worth, really. So
it's absolutely key. Mm. And yeah, that sort of that mental stability, and especially in successful people. I mean, one of the podcasts in that genre, the Stephen Bartlett one, Diary of CEO.
Mm.
That guy's mindset is just unreal.
That's brilliant. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's unshakable. And I think if you're an athlete or you're a higher level athlete as a child, then you're going to have a better success as an adult, just because the mindset of going through such adversity as a kid kind of shapes you into that. You can handle anything as an adult attitude. So a lot of the people I played hockey with as kids are doing really, really well now. And I've boxed since I was three as well. I know a lot of boxers who have boxed their whole life and not boxing, but again, still doing really well. I think there's such a good link between being a sportsman and being in business. Yeah. I think it's important for sort of development.
Yeah, I think the self-discipline and the almost like the ego, the self-belief required to accomplish 100%. Anything in sport is so mirrored with real life, really, isn't it? It's just
100%. Like, you get people who have got egos in real life, and you think, why have you got your ego? But then you get people with egos, and you think, fair play, mate, you're the best at what you do. You can have your ego. And like, when you're playing a sport, you don't very rarely get someone who's got an ego who's not good at what they do. Like, the best ones, like Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah.
Biggest ego in the world. One of the best strikers in the world. Ronaldo, massive ego. One of the best players to ever live, right? It's when you're an athlete, you get found out if you've got an ego and haven't got that skill. So,
it happened now.
Exactly. So I think, yeah, kids who don't play sport, when they have an ego, they've got no one to sort of put them down a bit and say, mate, show me why you've got an ego. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah, it's something I'll always push with my own daughter and any children in my family, that sport can be paramount to your life. It can absolutely change your life, especially if you find a sport that you're good at, that you enjoy. I was talking with Danny Wright yesterday. I mean, we spoke for 45 minutes on the podcast. He then called me. We spoke for 45 minutes on the phone. I've only met him once. But we both like the same sport, and the way that you can talk to each other and relate with other people, it's just the same as you can then do in your real life. So, yeah, sport is paramount for that.
Definitely.
So, and obviously other sports, you said you did a bit of boxing as well. Did you do any of that to a sort of decent level?
So my dad was a pro boxer, but he was in the Merchant Navy, so he travelled all around the world. So he used to fight on sort of little shows all around the world. My old man's 88. You hate me for saying this, but he's 88. He's never going to be able to get on the phone to bloody watch it. But, so he, when he was like in his 20s, 30s, he was very, very, very good boxer. Never lost, but again, he was doing bits and pieces. He was taking after sort of family tradition and going into some naughty stuff. So he never really took it seriously. I've got one brother who was the youngest ever schoolboy champion. I can't remember the age now, but it was 2 days over the youngest you could be to enter it. He was Four Nations champion, I think, three times. Schoolboy champion, Four Nations champion three times. Schoolboy champion four times. Incredibly good amateur. I've got another two boxers who are very good pros, but again, they end up doing other things and making money, sort of more money elsewhere. So I've been brought up in a very boxing-orientated family. So I've been in the ring since I was three. My very first ever coach was Jimmy Tibbs, who known as one of the best boxing coaches in Britain. He's my dad's best mate. So he had me in the ring at three on the pads, brought up just sparring my dad, boxing and things like that. Never really took it too seriously. Hockey was always sort of my main sport. And then I got banned when I was 16. It's bloody trendy. I keep getting banned, apparently. But I got banned when I was 16. So I went down to TKO in Silvertown, East London. And Barry Smith, who has got Lee Woods now, who's obviously a world champion, he wanted to make me pro when he turned me over at 16. My dad didn't want me to. So he said, if you want to go pro... So I had a choice. When I went back to hockey, I could either go pro hockey or pro boxing. And he said, if you want to go boxing, he went, you've got to get a bus down here every day yourself, because obviously I was too young to drive. And he didn't want me. He wanted me to use my head for something else rather than a punch bag. So I ended up picking hockey. And now boxing is just something I do, just a bit of sport enjoyment, really, more than anything. But yeah, boxing, like, decent standards.
Yeah, it's incredible for fitness, boxing, isn't it? Just to sort of keep it as part of your regime is unbelievable. I mean, I've always loved the sport, but I came to it quite late. I started with white collar when I was 30. And then I managed, I think I had 9 unlicensed fights in about 6 years. I got in incredible shape, but then because I was so old, the injuries just like started. When they hit you at that old, you can't recover from them. So
No, you can't. Your knees start going, your shoulder starts going, and then you start thinking, is this even worth it?
Oh, honestly, I think you can't put me in an MRI scanner because it looks like a kid's squiggly drawing.
Yeah.
My ligaments are all gone. My rotator cuffs are all gone. It's falling apart. So, Frank, one of the other reasons we got you on tonight is that you and James Aylin, who unfortunately is not joining us this evening, he was going to be with us, but one of his children's not feeling too well. You two are involved in quite a special project.
Yeah, so we've created a film about an enforcer, so the fight role in hockey. It's something what we've been speaking about for a while. So 2-3 years ago now, so James is obviously in the film industry anyway, I approached him about doing a TV series about my family. So we started working together on that. We had a bit of success, but we're still working on that. And then last year, I think October last year, he had somebody approach him for, they wanted to do something, put money into something, British film, for an artist there. So they wanted to use this artist, so a record label, put money into it for their artist. So he pitched the idea of an ice hockey film about a Canadian fighter now playing over in England. I enjoy the writing side of things. I've done a bit of writing before. I've sort of had good feedback. So James asked me to write a short film about the enforcer. So we wrote it. The record label loved it. They're funding it. So now what we're doing is shooting the film at the end of this month. And it's essentially, we've took loads of people's stories and made it into one person. So he's an ex-NHL draftee who ends up going into the lower ranks of hockey as he's getting older and just getting injury after injury. He's having fights, so he's getting cuts. But as he's going into the lower ranks, he's making less and less and less money. So his wife and his children are still back in Canada. He still has to provide for them. But unfortunately, he has a brain condition called CTE, which is relatively unknown at the moment within our sport, but it's such a big part of our sport. There's loads of documentaries on it, but they just go under the radar. So many hockey players, so many sportsmen, but hockey players, it's a real big thing, have CTE. You can't diagnose it until after you die. So a lot of these guys, they don't know they've got it. So what they do, they go through life, and it's you can have depression from it, you can have suicide thoughts from it. You can have anxiety from it. You can have mood swings from it. You can have brain fog, be forgetful. It's a real sort of bad condition. And a lot of these guys, so the boogeyman who played for New York Rangers, Garth, he commits suicide. They think he had it. Obviously, recently, unfortunately, we had Pyatt who's committed suicide. We don't know if he had it, but that could have been a symptom what he had from fighting all these years. So in the film, he gets diagnosed. Well, you can't diagnose it, but he gets told that he might have CTE, but he doesn't want to accept it. He's a 40-year-old fighter. He doesn't know how else to make money or how else to provide for his family. So the whole film is revolved around him and his mindset and his mentality and how does he cope with that? His career coming to an end, knowing that he's got sort of a brain injury, knowing that his relationship's on the rocks because of the sport what he's played for so long is not providing the money what they need to. So we're shooting that at the end of the month, and it's a as you can tell, it's a passion project for both of us. It's something what is so dear to our heart because we have played hockey our whole lives. I've played since I was 8, so I've played 22 years of hockey. James has probably played about the same as me, maybe a little bit more. We've seen these guys come through, like when I've been playing for Raiders. I grew up watching Jason Rushton. I don't know if many of your audience know that, but probably one of the best fighters to ever play in England. And he got drafted, never made it. Now he was fighting in England, and this was when I was like sort of 10. And Andy Hannah, a Cheetahs legend, another one, Canadian, now fighting in England. Cornish, again, one of the best fighters to ever play in England, but again, Canadian. Like, it's all these guys who end up coming over here and playing for sort of low-level leagues. No disrespect to the league we play in, but considering the leagues they have in America, it's
comparison to the American league, Jerry, it's a lower level, isn't it?
100%. And it's just, it's so sad because you see these guys and they've got a, they come over here and on the weekend they're like, they're still a small town hero. Like, say Stanos, for instance, obviously he was an ex draftee. He's a hero on the weekends, but what's he do the rest of the week? Like, yeah, a lot of them go to work just to earn a little bit extra money, but comes to the weekend, people shouting their name and he's a hero again. Monday morning, I'm not saying Stanos this, but I'm saying a lot of them, they'll go to like a building site on Monday morning and sort of be treated like a nobody because they're not the hero of that building site. They're just there to do a job to earn a bit of money. It's such a sad sort of story.
Yeah.
And it's something we really want to try and tell and get out there, really.
Yeah, we were mixed with obviously James's sort of career in filmmaking and your sort of obsession with mindset. That sounds like it's a project that the two of you are really, really going to get a good result out of.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. James is an incredible filmmaker. I don't know if you've seen anything he's done, but he's incredible. I can blow his trumpet a little bit because he's not on here, but I will say he's an artist on what he does. He's ridiculously good on how, like, I've been on set with him a few times. I'm sort of pushing myself into the film industry as well, but I've been on set a few times to help him out, and it's just, it blows my mind how good he is. But I mean, you wouldn't expect anything else because such a good hockey player. Why wouldn't he be good at bloody everything else? But
he made hockey look like art, didn't he, when he was playing? So.
Just, do you know what I mean? He's good looking, good at hockey. He makes films. Like, what's this kid not doing? But
we'll find out when he comes on. We'll find out what he can't do.
He's so humble, he'll probably tell you he's not a good filmmaker and not a good hockey player. That's the problem with him as well. But, so it's something that we know we can do really well at. We've actually got Jonas Armstrong, who's a really sort of good British actor, to play the main role. We've got Sinead Matthews, who's a really good British actress, to play the second role in it. We was actually talking to Sean Avery. Sean Avery was going to come over here. And play the lead, yeah, but he's doing a Christopher Nolan film and we couldn't get the scheduling to match up, but he rung me and James up, said how much he loved it, thought it was a brilliant script, really wanted to be a part of it, and it was also saying close to his heart as well, but unfortunately he couldn't get over it. So yeah, we've gone with Jonas Armstrong, again, incredibly talented actor, and we're filming it at Chelmsford on the 25th of this month.
Oh, brilliant.
So we're gonna get the film crew down. We're gonna film a bit during the game. Dino's gonna be in it as well. He's gonna have a little part in it. we're gonna do a bit in the game, and then we're also gonna shoot after the game. There's a rec training, so we're gonna shoot after the game as well. So yeah, if anyone's listening, I'd love to try and get all the Chieftain fans down there to stay after the game. Be part of the film, be in the crowd scene. So as we're filming it, we can sort of pan around and see the crowd and try and get everyone involved. I've played Chieftains probably in total, you know, over my career, 6-7 years. James is a Chief legend, do you know what I mean? So yeah, we really want to try and get everybody involved and get the rink involved, get the fans involved and make a film that's obviously not just close to our hearts, close to all of our hearts, because it's the sport we all love, right? It's why everyone listens to your podcast. They love the sport. They know these sort of stories.
Yeah, no, and a home game on a Saturday night is a rare occurrence for us in Chelmsford. So it's even double excuse to sort of stay around and watch the rec guys as well and get involved with it. Well, Frankie, that all sounds brilliant. I'm really, really looking forward to the outcome of that. And on Saturday the 25th, hopefully I'll actually get to meet you in person that night as well.
Yeah, be good.
And thank you so much for joining me on Zero Pucks Given. All the best for Two Whiskies and a Cigar. You can find that Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts.
Google Podcasts, Spotify, not Apple Podcasts. I'll be honest with you, I've got so many things going on right now. It's going to be on YouTube soon as well, but my main priority is getting this film done. So as soon as this film gets done, it's going to be on more media. But I only started it beginning of December as well, so I'm kind of like yourself, just sort of still learning, but the film's kind of taken over a little bit at the moment.
Well, for any Chieftain fans looking and find Two Whiskies and a Cigar, there is a great episode with Liam Chong, former Chieftains player. I'm so fascinating.
Yeah, he's another one. He's just good at everything. Like, he's an incredibly clever guy. Like, incredibly clever. Unbelievable hockey player. Good looking. Like, I don't know why I'm bad at these people. Made me feel bad about myself. Like, again, Chongi's brilliant. He's such a good player. I played with him since he was juniors. James Ailey's going to be on it soon as well. So, it's a good podcast. Obviously, it's different to this. It's more getting in the mindsets of people. So, if people like that, if you like Joe Rogan or you like Dyer as a CEO, I'm trying to bring a fresh take to them kind of podcasts.
Nah, brilliant, brilliant. And again, yeah, Feb 25th, I think it's Slough Jets at home for Chieftains that night. So, yeah, those of you that haven't got tickets, get your tickets on Ticketco and then stick around and watch the filming of, is it The Enforcer? Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah, The Enforcer. Said Jonas Armstrong's in it. He's an incredible actor. You get to see him do what he does best live. And if you don't know who he is, just Google him. You'll recognise him from something. He's brilliant.
Did he skate?
Pardon?
Did he skate?
No. We've got to cheat that a little bit. So we're filming the short at the moment, which is basically a proof of concept for the feature. So once we film the feature, he'll be doing skating lessons. Yeah. So at the moment, I'm not sure if James is going to do a body double or we're going to get a body double for it. But you'll see him acting and then you might see a body double come in for the skating part.
Yeah. Nice one. Thank you, Sabini. Thank you very much for joining me on Zero Pucks Given.
All the best.
I'll speak to you soon.
See you soon, mate. Thank you. Bye-bye.
A huge thank you to Frankie for joining me there. Unfortunately, James Ayling couldn't join us to talk about that project, but James will join us at a later date to discuss it and, of course, his hockey career with Chelmsford. So, yeah, you heard it here first. They're going to be shooting some scenes for The Enforcer at the Riverside on February the 25th. So if you don't have your tickets for that game at home to Slough, then make sure you get them and then stick around after the game if you can to get involved with some of the filming. So what we're going to do now then is returned after a couple of weeks away. It's Hit of the Week. Hit of the week, then. It could only really go one place. I'm sure you've seen on the social media channels that it's been shared. Hit of the week has got to go to Kieran Rayner for his tilt that he had with Condren. I'd imagine the timing was to try and get the lads up and get the crowd in to get us back into the game. Unfortunately, that didn't work. But it was a hell of a tilt that's been shared wider by Chelmsford fans, by UK hockey fights, by some worldwide hockey fight sites as well. So, yeah, Kieran Rayner, hit of the week. Nice to have the return of Hit of the Week then. And as I say, if you haven't seen that fight from Rayner, then yeah, search it up on the socials. Zero Pucks Given has shared it on Instagram and Twitter. So yeah, make sure you find that and have a look, because we all know that he puts his best in when he drops the gloves for the Chieftains. So now we're going to speak to our second guest. We've got Chelmsford Chieftains new man for this season, number 47, Dan Fay.
Number 47.
Dan Fay, how are we doing, fella?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Yourself?
Yes, mate, really well, really well. Thank you for joining me on Zero Pucks Given.
No worries.
Tough night last night, a defeat down at Invicta. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a tough one. I think it's we're playing well at the moment, I think. Like, recently, we're picking up form again. We're having good training sessions. It's just, like, fighting them games, like, going late into the game, we sort of struggled towards in the end of the third period. But overall, I didn't think it was a bad game. They just capitalised on them small mistakes we made.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, finishing the game and got the 2 points. But we do need to be better in closing them games out. And I think that will come. It's starting to gel quite nicely now. We get in... the lines are pretty consistent. People playing, training together. It's a good group of guys. I think everyone gets on well with each other. I just need to get that performance on the ice now.
Love it. It's do you think these one game weekends aren't really doing us any favours because you can't get into a stride, can you?
Yes. There's two ways of looking at it. Some ways it's nice because when you've got the two game weekend, especially if you've been training, working, etc., all through the week, by something like the third period Sunday, you're knackered.
You're knackered.
But then also, if you're resting that whole Saturday, and then going into Sunday, especially if they've had a game on the Saturday, I do think they tend to come out straight off the starting blocks. But as well, Invicta had a big defeat to Slough the night before, so you can see they were hungry. They definitely wanted it. It was quite a high tempo game, I think. They definitely brought it to us at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, obviously that's the second time we've played Invicta now since the cup final was confirmed that it will be against them. Once we play that cup final, it will actually be eight times we've played them before we even get into the playoffs. And the way it's sitting at the moment, we'll play them in the playoffs as well. So it's
we seem to be playing them loads.
Yeah, there's certainly a rivalry there as well, isn't there? So
it's definitely a good. I enjoy playing them games, like especially now Invicta's open both sides of that rink. Like I think the atmosphere last night was like unbelievable, especially after Reina's fight. Like the building was popping. I think Jib said to us on the bench, he's like, "Listen," and like that's good to hear.
Well, I mean, I've shared the video of Reina's fight. The video was taken from the sort of the Chelmsford's fans' perspective. I've seen it from the other side as well, from the Invicta fans, and you can just see all the Chelmsford fans going mental. I would imagine at the game at the time, I think we were 5-3 down at the time, that it would have been if you get on there, ruffle them feathers, the crowd will get up, we'll get up, and then we can go again. And then we had the late power play, and they nicked a shorty, didn't they?
Yeah, I think after that, it definitely died down after that shorthanded goal. Straight after the scrap, I couldn't actually see it properly. So I was like, you know what the benches are like in Invicta, like the wrong way around. So I'm right at the back of the bench because my laces snapped during the game. So I'm changing them. Yeah, so I'm changing them over and like just miss like 2 minutes of the game. And it's the 2 minutes where everything happens. But then, obviously, like Jim started saying, listen to that. And they were amazing last night. Like the drums going, like screaming. Like you could hear that. I know we're closer to them, but like they drowned out half the Invicta fans for most of the night.
Yeah, I think we're one of the best supported teams on the travel and, you know, always make a load of noise. And most of the rinks are actually laid out quite well that the away fans tend to be quite close to the away bench. So you can kind of get that boost. And I particularly down Solent is the same. I think Romford's the same as well. So you can hear us coming. So it's your first season with the Chieftains.
Yeah.
Did you obviously played a little bit north as well. So was it Widnes you played?
Widnes, yeah. So I lived up north for a bit. Like my dad's family are from up there. So I moved up there and went to uni up there. I then had, I think, two seasons there. And then when... two seasons there. And then... COVID happened, and so obviously the uni's all closed, everything shut down, so I come back home that year. We went to Bracknell for a year in that spring cup, but obviously that rink shut as well. Which is a shame. Then obviously last season was in Romford with Mark as well, and then when we got the call about coming to Chelmsford, I couldn't say no.
So Mark been a big part of that, was he?
I've known Mark for quite a while. Obviously, he was at Bracknell as well before I moved up north.
Yeah.
We got on with him quite well. So when he called me in the summer, I was all in. Like my first senior game for Bracknell was actually against Chelmsford. In the old rink. I remember I think it was a few days after I turned 16. Go up. And it's when that old rink where the away changing rooms were, like almost where the home changing room is now.
Yeah.
And you have to walk through all the Chelmsford fans to get onto the ice. And I remember being so nervous. Like I was shaking. Like it was a proper, like wake up call. And I think we lost like 10-1 that game as well. It wasn't good.
Is there a difference really between the North and the South? Because a few people know that I'm going to be on 3-on-3 podcast this week, and they're all kind of northern based. A lot of the elite league teams are all northern based, and I kind of feel it's almost a bit like rugby league in that sense, that the north feels that ice hockey belongs to them. So is it a better standard up there?
It's a weird one. I think, like, the overall standard, I wouldn't say is better. But then you've got some teams, like Solway, for example. Like, that's an amazing team.
Yeah.
Like, their depth, like, they'd smoke anyone in the country. But I was speaking to one of my mates. I think it's because, obviously, like, if you look at the National League, a lot of the teams are in the South. So there's that jump. So, like, there's less teams in the North in the National League. So that jump up to the Elite League or to their national team, there's less spots. So then that almost makes some of them teams, like, a better level at each, like, at the lower levels.
Yeah.
It's kind of a hard one, like, now playing both. I'd say it's probably, like, a bit more physical. I remember my first year up there, like, I was just getting smoked left, right and centre. Like... But I wouldn't say the standard better. I think the standard down here is just as good as well. Like, I think there'll be it'd be interesting to play some of them teams and see what happens, because I think there'll be some good games there.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult logistically, isn't it? Especially in the NIHL 1 to play the northern teams. But I think it's something that could potentially be looked at for pre-season. And, you know, to, you know, play someone from the NIHL 1 North, sort of home and away, it'd be quite interesting to see the outcome of that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'd like, especially now we've played quite a few of the teams up there as well. Like, I've made a few friends up there. It'd be good to play against them again.
Yeah.
It'd be make for a good long road trip as well.
Yeah.
Should be fun. But yeah, it's like the distances. Like, that's the other thing up north, is the teams are so much spread out. So I remember when we were up there, we went up to Scotland and coming down to Coventry. Like, it's a lot of distance you've got to travel.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's bad. Yeah. The south with, like, you know, Solent and, you know, we used to have Bristol and Cardiff we got in the NHL too. But yeah, that the, up north, they are so spread out. Yeah. And obviously the National League, it's... Bristol up to... I think it's up to Hull Seahawks, I think. There's a long old
trip. Yeah, a bit of a track, yeah.
Yeah. But so have you obviously played at a few different places. Have you always worn number 47?
No. I had a few numbers. So no. I started as 23. I think it was just what was in the bag, like, just got given. And then I remember under 18s at Bracknell, the 23 shirt was the goalie shirt. So they're like, you can't wear that one. So I was like, oh, I'll take 18. So I wore 18 all through Widnes, like through the rest of Bracknell, all of that. And then when I come back to do the Spring Cup, someone was already 18. So I was like, oh, I'll choose 47. And then... again, the same was at Romford, and now it's just sort of stuck. So
yeah,
I couldn't change it now.
Now you're kind of stuck with it. I thought it was quite interesting, because I had Nick Hyde from Life Financial on last week, who sort of owns and loans your home shirt.
Yeah, I've spoken to him a few times.
And he also does Chris Beckett, so he's got 47 and 74.
Yeah, I've mentioned that one a few times before with me and Chris. But yeah, like, there's no reason. It's just... hopefully now it's a bit of a strange number, so it's not going to be taken ever again. But yeah, no, I'm happy with it now. Stuck with it.
Now, from a little bit of the research that I've been doing has changed from elite prospects, because it's burnt me bad a couple of times into just stalking people's social medias. Did you get involved with a bit of coaching with the women's side in Widnes?
Yeah. So obviously I was up at uni there, and like, I was on my own. So there wasn't, apart from going out drinking and all of that, which is probably best I didn't do. And we only trained once a week at the time. So one of my mates who we were playing with, he's like, oh, do you want to help me push pucks around, come on the other day and help coach a women's team? So I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. So come down. And then after a while, they're like, oh, like, can you, like, look after the D? Like, tell me what needs to be done here, just like a few experiences from like what I've gained. I'm not saying I'm a coach in any way, shape or form, but it's what I've been taught. It'd be good to pass on to a couple of other people.
Yeah.
So we ended up going on the bench and coaching with them pretty much full time for the year. We ended up winning the league that year, which was quite a good achievement.
Yeah. Is that something you think for the future, maybe when you're done playing?
Maybe. Like, I do quite like the coaching, but obviously, like, still quite early on in the career, so I don't know enough. Like, I feel bad if I'm coaching people for stuff like which I can't do. I almost feel like I've got to be able to do it before telling someone how to do it, if that makes sense.
Were you always a D-man then?
I've tried playing forward a few times. I had a few games, but pretty much I've always been D.
Yeah. You've got bad hands for a D-man, actually. You do move the puck quite well.
Yeah, it's not pretty seeing me forward. I just, like, I know where to be as a D. It's like your position, it feels natural. As soon as I'm, like, above the puck and all of that, I feel out of place. It's a bit of a strange one.
Yeah. And for a D-man, you have scored, I think, the latest goal I've ever seen. In ice hockey, a few weeks ago, I think, on the defeat up until Victor.
I didn't score it.
Did someone tip it in?
Yeah, Frankie got a tip to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I thought, I saw it going in, but then I could see him sliding across. I think he would have got it. So I think Frankie did tip that just low enough so that it did go in.
It was literally a hundredth of a second left on the clock when it went in the back of the net. You could all kind of see on your faces, you're like, why are we even bothering getting into position to restart? The puck's not even going to hit the ice before the buzzer goes.
Yeah.
But, that would be something for Simon, who's been doing a bit with the website. He might have to go back through and change some of his stats if you're saying Frankie tipped that in.
Yeah, no, I don't like to admit it, but I have got to give it to Frankie. Yeah, it was his first Chieftain goal as well, so I can't take him out from him.
Would that not have been your first Chieftain one? I think you did get one earlier.
I got one in Gosport, the first game of the season.
8-4.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's the only one. I'm not a big goal scorer. So stick to playing in D.
Yeah. Well, obviously, playing in the North and South, you must have played in pretty much every rink in the country. Have you got a favourite and a least favourite?
Our least favourite by far is Bradford. That is awful. It's basically like it's a bingo hall on the ground floor. Yeah. You've got to go up the steps to the ice rink. You then go up the steps again to the changing rooms. You then got to come back down the steps fully kitted with your skate guards on because the steps made of concrete.
Yeah.
To then go on the ice. And I'm like, that is awful.
Got the potential of going on the ice with your skate guards on then, which is an error.
Yeah, that's not, don't do that.
No, we did hear earlier in the, I think it was episode 13, I had a couple of the refs on from the Elite League, and one of them at Chelmsford went on the ice with his skate guards on.
Yeah, I've done it a few times at training. Luckily, never at a game. But
not when anyone's watching.
Yeah, it's not. Well, the worst one is a few of the boys, they put a bit of leg tape on the bottom of your skates, try and play a few jokes. And that's got me a few times. But
did you have any sort of initiation at the Chieftains?
Not a lot goes on all the time. Like, probably I can't say a lot of it.
No, we've got to keep it cleanish.
Yeah. No, there wasn't really anything. Like, we've done a few dumb stuff and all of that, but nothing particular.
Nah. So if back to the rinks here. Bradford's the worst rink. Have you got a favourite one?
Favourite one? Well, the favourite one I probably played in was actually in Russia.
Oh, yeah.
So we did the same thing George Gell did. I did it the year before, the university had. We went to Siberia, and that rink was like something else. It's the ice was like skating on glass, like the boards were perfect. Like, yeah, that was probably my favourite. But then in this country, I don't know. I quite like playing at Telford. It was quite a good one. Telford was definitely a good one.
How did you do in the FISA games, the GB student, when you went?
We won one game. That was about it. We beat Sweden.
Oh, that's a good result.
Yeah, it was a shock. But yeah, it's definitely it was a tough tournament.
Yeah. I've got some questions now from the listeners, that's all right. And it looks like you might have had a little bit of company join you there.
Yeah, I was thinking I might have to move. Actually, yeah, I'll be fine for a little bit. But yeah, I might have to move into the next room in a minute.
No worries. So I've got a few questions, not overly hockey related, actually. But Ollie Bennett has asked, if you won the lottery, what's the first thing you'd do?
Oh, God. Well, probably, because obviously, I don't know if you know, but I live in Bracknell, so it's a bit of a drive to Chelmsford. Probably buy a house in Chelmsford, so a bit closer to the rink.
Is that a lonely drive now? Because you used to travel a lot.
Well, there was five of us at the beginning of the year, and I'm on my own at the moment. So, yeah, put a bit of music, sometimes listen to the podcast, and just, So a lot lonelier than it was.
Oh, yeah. But if you've got the podcast, you've got me to keep you company.
Exactly.
Yeah. A question from Sophie Ashford. What music do you like?
Oh, I like a bit of everything, to be honest. It depends what I'm doing. Like, I like a bit of country music, a bit of rock music and that. But I think the weird one is, like, if I'm working, doing stuff, and I need to focus, I listen to music in a different language because I can't hear the words.
That doesn't distract you.
Like, yeah, just like the background noise. That's, yeah.
Well, that's an interesting one, that. And Cara, who's added to her question, hoping that you're going to be black and gold next season, and that they love you and you're their favourite. What's your highlight as a chieftain so far?
Highlight as a chieftain? Ooh, that's a tough one. There's been some good bits. I'd probably say it's when we beat Streatham away to make it into the day before Oxford.
Yeah.
Because if we lost that game, we would have been out.
It was all over, wasn't it?
So, like, I think the boys just, we all got together on that, and that was a big, big win there.
Yeah. So, Sophia Gatlin, the sign girl, has asked, how did you chip your tooth?
It was a hockey stick, but it was actually during lockdown, we're playing street hockey. Do you know the Romford goalie, Dylan Phillips?
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah, good mates with him. So we were out playing some roller hockey just in a car park near us. And he was on my team as well, which doesn't make sense to me. But literally swung his stick up, caught me just round the tooth, just crumpled. Yeah.
So all the years on ice and all the stuff that goes on there, and it was playing roller hockey in a car park. Now, I've got a few now from someone who I would assume is a friend of yours and probably an ex-teammate, Miltz.
Yeah. He's messaged me this morning about this.
Yeah. So he's asked, who beat you up worse, Rainer, Ben Ely Newman, or Zach for not cuddling?
The toughest one was Rainer, to be fair. I'll have to give it to him. He's first.
There is a great picture of that fight somewhere, actually, that I've seen.
I'd rather not see it.
Yeah.
Like, he's the first person I've fought, and I've actually gone, like, this guy's punches out. Like, he's a solid kid.
Yeah.
So definitely Rainer.
Then he's got a couple of random ones. He said, would you rather have two arms and one leg or two legs and one arm?
Two arms and one leg. I don't know. Two arms and one leg. I don't know. Yeah, probably two arms, because then at least you can play like sledge hockey or something.
You can still play sledge hockey, with two arms, yeah. And who's the best mobile Monopoly player?
Oh, it's me, by far.
That's you?
Yeah, by far.
Is that a little time passer, is it, doing that?
Yeah, last season we used to play Monopoly in the car, and I was always smoking everyone.
And then we've got a little question from Rainer as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Do you like Clapham Garden benches?
Oh, I love them, yeah. I'm not going to say why.
Yeah, I see. I'm sure that the answer to this isn't clean. I'm imagining like a little sleeping spot on a night out.
No. It's, I'll let people use their imagination on that one.
Excellent. You just having to move yourself a little bit.
Yeah, that's a lecture spot and I'm here, so I'll move into the next room. I won't be a second.
No worries, mate. No worries. Give me a chance to get the Chiefs briefs together.
Okay.
What are you studying, CUNY?
So I'm studying architecture at the moment. Doing the masters currently.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so it's a bit of work. It's why we're going to be here late tonight. But yeah, I'll pop up here for a bit. This should be fun.
Yeah, excellent. Right. Well, I've had a couple of new ones come in for Chiefs briefs, but I'm in desperate need of more. If anyone's got the imagination more than I have to give us some Chiefs briefs, but I'll go with what I've got here, and I did get a couple of extra ones for today. So we'll add them in as well. Just scan up and find them. Righty ho, you ready to go with him then, mate?
Yeah, all good.
Righty ho. Right then. Spider-Man or Superman?
Ooh, here we go, Superman. I don't really watch stuff like that, but yeah, we'll go Superman. No.
Are you a proper grown-up?
No, I just never watched them. Like, too busy playing hockey.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Going abroad or staycation?
Going abroad, yeah.
Yeah. Chinese or Indian?
Probably go Chinese.
McLaren or Ferrari?
Probably go Ferrari.
Scoring a goal or getting a shutout?
Probably say getting a shutout. Better for a D anyway.
Pizza or pasta?
Pizza, yeah.
Cam or Grant?
I can't answer that. They'll be giving it to me either way.
Black or gold?
Black.
NHL 1 North or NHL 1 South?
That's a tough one, but probably now I'd say South, yeah.
Good man, good man. Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. It's been really nice chatting to you.
No worries.
And we've got a couple of sort of one game weekends coming up now. I think it's away at Milton Keynes on this Sunday.
Yeah, it's a few closer ones.
Yeah, that's still not great for you, is it, coming around the M25 and up the M1?
No, it's not too bad. But I found out, so Chelmsford is actually the furthest rink away from my house in the league.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, at least you only have to go there every other week.
Exactly. Well,
twice a week for training.
Twice a week for training. But.
Excellent stuff. Dan, good man. Thank you very much for joining me. And I'll see you soon.
See you soon. Thank you very much.
Cheers, man.
Take care. Bye.
A huge thank you to Dan Fay for joining me then from his university lecture halls. You may have noticed he had to move around towards the end of the interview there. But really great to chat with Dan. He's a really nice young lad and a bit of a fan's favourite, actually, even in his first season with the Chieftains. So fixtures for next week then. The Chelmsford Chieftains travel to Milton Keynes Thunder on Sunday the 19th of February. The Warriors have a weekend off. And at the Riverside, the Chelmsford Cobras are hosting Sheffield. So if you're not travelling with the Chieftains, there is free entry hockey at the Riverside on Sunday night. So that is episode 18. That's in the bank. Massive thank you to both of my guests, to Frankie Sabini and to Dan Fay. Thank you to all you guys for listening. The fixtures for next week. Chelmsford Chieftains away at MK Thunder Sunday the 19th. Cobras are at home to Sheffield on Sunday the 19th at the Riverside. Another thing to listen out for this week, if you've got a bit of time and you like a little bit of a hockey podcast, I'm appearing on 3-on-3 podcast. Guys normally discuss the Elite League that obviously had a weekend off because of the Great Britain results. So yeah, can check that out as well. Thank you for listening and I'll see you next time. This podcast is hosted by Anchor on Spotify. It is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and other podcast outlets. Subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to get notifications about new episodes. Follow us on social media, Instagram at Zero Pucks Given Podcast, Twitter at Zero Pucks Pod, YouTube at Zero Pucks Given, email zeropucksgivenpodcast@gmail.com. The music in this podcast is taken from Spotify and I do not own the tracks. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.
Social Podcast Network.